Good evening to America's brightest audience. This is Bob. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is not Bob Inyart. Nor is it Doug McBurney, who usually fills in for Bob, and he's done several shows. Nor is it Mark Sutherland, who has done shows for Bob in the past also. And it's not the best of Bob. However, long-time Bob Inyart Live listeners may remember a few times when Eric and Gordon teamed up and came on the show and did a show for him. Our famous Field Rat interviews were massive news that went out throughout the entire country. Unfortunately, Eric's not able to be here tonight, so it's just Gordon here by himself. And I'm just going to warn you right off the bat, if I don't get any callers, I will completely bore you for the rest of the hour. So give as many calls as we can, and we'll try not to be too boring. I had originally planned to start off the show with some proofs that the Earth was young and not old, but something on the radio today caught my attention so much that I decided to start the show with that instead. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the war going on. I think pretty much everybody knows about it. But how many of you know that there were protests in Oakland today, where rioters actually picketed and tried to stop supplies from getting to our troops? Now, it's one thing to not be in full agreement with the war. I think once the war started, you should, even if you had disagreements with the way it went, you should still totally support our troops and try to get them back safely. But to actually attempt to subvert the American plan and to stop supplies from getting to our troops, which could cost them their lives and certainly hamper our mission over there, I think that that is really a traitorous act. And I know that the police out in Oakland had to actually fire rubber bullets and wooden mallets at some of the protesters, and that helped. But just the idea that they would even go so far as to try to stop supplies from getting to our troops is totally offensive to me. I'm sure most Americans would agree with that, except for maybe the liberals and some of the Democrats. But I think this goes even too far for some of the Democrats. The idea of actually trying to stop supplies from getting to our troops and maybe causing some of them to die, if that's not an act of being a traitor, I have to tell you, I really don't know what is. It's shameful, and I think that the people that participated in that should be brought to trial for treason. And I'd like to see that done. I don't think it's going to happen, but that is what I think should be done. Also, I think that what I heard from the radio earlier today concerning that is that a lot of the protesters, or the idea of the protesters, is to get the union to also, of the longshoremen, to refuse to get supplies out of the country. And I'm not sure exactly what the union stance is on that yet. I've heard two different things. From one of the conservative talk show hosts, I've heard that it hasn't been decided from the union officials. And then they had one of the actual protesters on that said that they were in agreement with them. They were not crossing the picket line, and they were not going to get the boats out. And in a time of war, we can certainly order people who are in a union to do what they have to do for the national interest. President Reagan did that with the air traffic controllers, and the ones that would not comply, they were fired right out of hand, which is exactly what should have happened. And if union members do that today and they put our troops and our people and America in that case in danger, they should also be fired immediately. And the people that are trying to subvert the efforts to help our war effort in that type of a way, I think should be tried for treason. If any of you disagree with that, I'd like you to call up and let me know. Okay, we have a caller right now. It's Rakim from Denver. Go ahead, Rakim. Are you there, Rakim? Okay, let me try it on line one here. Rakim, are you on?
Yeah, hi there. You got me now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, basically I want to talk about this racist war that the white people are perpetrating against people of color to subjugate us, to steal our natural resources, our wealth. You've been doing this for about, you know, since time. You've been doing it to specifically black people and Arab people for about 1,000 years. You just want to go to Iraq, steal our oil, steal the wealth of the Iraqi people so that rich white folk like George Bush and you can drive your Suburban and your Lincoln Town cars or whatever. So this is a war of money, and it's a war to get the American people to buy oil so that Bush and his cronies at the Defense Department, Rumsfeld, to get him and all his rich people even richer.
Okay, so Rakim, you're in total support of the war then?
Absolutely not. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I sure did. Now, I let you say your piece pretty well there. So wait a minute, Rakim, wait. Now, let me ask you a couple questions here. Do you support Saddam Hussein? Are you a supporter of Saddam Hussein?
Saddam Hussein was put in power.
I didn't ask you that.
The CIA.
I'm asking you right now, are you in support of Saddam Hussein? Who's dead, by the way?
Absolutely. I think Saddam Hussein is a person who is a very bad person.
You think he's a very bad person? So,
absolutely, yes.
And you believe that he has done all these atrocities of murdering so many Kurds, using gas on his own people, torturing people, raping people. I mean, the atrocities that have come out of there, you've heard of them, and you believe that those are true.
Yeah, what America does to people of color, yes.
Okay, we're dealing with this right now. You happen to believe that those are true. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then why is it that you would object to America going over and removing that? Let me ask you a question. Rakim, let me ask you the question first.
Why is it going to North Korea?
Rakim, if you won't let me talk, I'll have to put you on hold. Why is it that you would object to America going over and stopping this terrorist leader from destroying his people and being a danger to America?
Because it's not our place, and
you just spent several minutes telling us why America has done all these things over there. We're doing it for the oil, and we're doing it for all these other reasons. What if we're doing it for purely the reason of getting him out of power over there and saving the Iraqi people and protecting America? I'm just asking you, if that's the case, would you then support the war if that was the case?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said, if you knew that the reason we were going over there was to liberate the Iraqi people and to keep American interests safe, would you then be for the war?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
I would not. It's not America's, you understand, not America's place to be the big dog to
Well, it certainly is our place to protect ourselves, correct?
It's not our place to do that. And George Bush, all of a sudden, he wants to go and kill Iraqis for no reason, sir.
Well, Rakim,
why did this all come
Rakim,
up? All
I have to ask you this question. You just admitted a minute ago that Saddam Hussein murders his people wholesale, and that right there would tell you that we're not going over there for no reason, regardless. Once you hold on, we're going to have a break in just a second, Rakim, and then we'll talk to you after that comes up. We'll be back. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll finish up with Rakim, and then we'll go on to a Bob Inyart break after that. it the extra minute, and then we'll do it. Good evening. We're back live again on the Bob Inyart Live Show. And once again, I'm not Bob Inyart. I'm Gordon Carroll. And I'm standing in for Bob while he's out of town. Tomorrow there's going to be a Best of Bob show, so we encourage you to listen in tomorrow. But don't call in because there won't be anybody to take calls. We're on the phone right now with Rakim, and we're talking about President Bush and the war in general. Rakim's main idea is that the only reason we're in this war is to kill Iraqis and to give more money to George Bush, and that's the only reason we're over there. Even though he admits that Saddam Hussein is a murdering tyrant, and even if we were going over there to protect our interest and to liberate the Iraqi people, he feels that we don't have a right to do that. Is that correct, Rakim? Go ahead, Rakim.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Why didn't Clinton send troops to Rwanda? Because there was no oil there, and there were black people being murdered there.
You're talking about...
And that is very good evidence, you see, for why you racist white people...
Well, first off, before you go any further with the racist white people part, you said Clinton.
No, you are.
Excuse me for a second.
You're a white man,
Rakim.
And you have the power...
Well, Rakim, you said Clinton. So is Clinton the one that sent our troops? Okay, we're going to go ahead and keep Rakim off for now. We'll get him back on if he's going to go ahead and listen to what we have to say. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and put somebody else on the line. We have number two. Let's hear who it is. And also, anybody that wants to call into the show, they can call in at 1-800-8-INYART. Okay, caller, go ahead. You're live.
Well, ignited and excited in Jesus, amen. How you doing, my brother?
Amen. Good for you to call. Who is this?
Well, this is K-Man, amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Amen. I just, Mr. Rakim went ahead and called in, and I just thought it was an unfair shot because, Brother Inyart is not on right now, but you did quite well. And, Mr. Rakim, I just got to, please give me a quote for Scripture. Please, please.
Go ahead. Oh, Rakim, are you talking about?
Well, yeah. Well, the sure that I get the little public announcement because I'm being ready to give some scripture.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, right. But you know what? I don't have Bob Inyart's entire scheme down. So all I can say is warning, warning, Will Robinson, for those of you who would censor any infiltrated truth of the Bible or anything else in public, be advised that the raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. That's as close as I can get.
Oh, that's absolutely marvelous, my brother. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Amen. It says right here, you kept referring to about racist whites and all that stuff,
right.
And it goes both ways. Let's just put it this way. It says right here in 1 John 4:20, and this goes for all the races around there, white, black, purple, people, polka-dotted, pink, Ellie, whatever you want to call them. This goes for everybody. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is a commandment to have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And then also says in 1 John also that one who says he loves, if one that hates his brother is a murderer and is a liar. And so if you look all the way into Revelations, It says right here in Revelation, let me check exactly where it is here. It says 21 and 27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it also indicates that those are the abominable, the liars, and all of them would have the part in the gate of in hell. And so the thing is that basically is this. If we say we love God and show hatred to our brother, the Lord right. is basically saying we're going straight to hell.
So basically, and so, it's like Rakim when he calls in and he says that all white people are white racists and they have the power. He's showing the example of that he doesn't have love for his fellow brother, that he automatically is a racist himself just by what he's just said.
And what I didn't like is that he didn't wait for Brother Bob to go ahead and come back on, and he tried to go ahead and mention that with you, take advantage of you, but you did quite well. But let's go for both black and white. So it goes like this. If we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, see, Jesus died for all our sins, and those who will receive his grace.
Right.
And it's just like this, Rakim. If my brother, if you have any hatred, or any of us have any hatred for a brother, Jesus says this, all our sin comes short of the glory of God. He says that he not only came to, he didn't come to destroy law, but to fulfill.
Absolutely.
So if we say, so he says that if we kill, killing is one of the Ten Commandments, is one of the five, one of the commandments of the ten.
Well,
that's,
murder that's is, right.
Murder, our right. innocent blood. And so literally by calling racism and having a hatred for anyone, that literally shows that that's a form of killing, and I believe the word kill is more accurate. So, it's like this. Jesus Christ, like the home attorney, Father God's like the judge, we're on death row if we rely upon righteousness. So, it's like this, that Jesus died on the cross and said, hey, since I'm God, I can die and get my life back again. But if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, they'll be saved. For with the heart, man believes righteous, with mouth confession made salvation. So, Rakim, my brother man, I'm going to ask you even right now.
He's off the air right now, yeah. Rakim is. But
oh, that's okay. Yeah. I'm sure he's around.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening.
All races out.
I'm sure he's listening.
If that's okay. If even right now, just say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, rose from the dead, and now I live on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, born of the Virgin Mary. Forgive me for having any hatred toward anyone, past, present, future, any grudges for anyone, past, present, future. I believe you're the Son of God. Change me, shape me, and mold me. What I've been called for before the foundation of the world. And thank you, dear Jesus, in Jesus' name. So that's what I want to ask, because you know what? The bitterness will go ahead and eat you away, my brother.
It can.
You know what I mean?
I appreciate your call, K-Man. Thank you so much. And call back, too, when Bob is here also, okay?
I definitely will, my brother.
Praise the Lord, and thank you for calling. Okay, we're going to go to line one now. We've got Dale from Littleton. Dale, go ahead. You're on the air.
That first caller that you had tonight,
Rakim,
he was wrong on several points, but he was right on one.
Which is what?
I'm sorry?
Which is what? Which point was he right on?
What has happened in Rwanda and the slaughter of millions of blacks by blacks. It was black on black alone.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But he needs to understand that the United Nations had an opportunity to act on that, and they are the racists.
Right. There's plenty of documentation even from the United Nations to show that they knew that it was about to happen. They purposely, especially, I believe it was Kofi Annan, he purposely allowed it to happen. And, you know, one of the big things for the United Nations is population control. And comments were made at that time that that would be a good start for population control. Pretty horrible.
Yeah. And the majority of the liberals in their ilk, those that are protesting and saying, well, I support soldiers, but I'm against the war. They have a hatred so deep for George Bush and what he stands for. They would support Adolf Hitler if he re-manifested himself into this world.
There is no question.
It's a hatred
for
a man who believes in Christ. It's a hatred for a man with principles. And again, this war is the responsibility and lays at the feet of the United Nations. We made the mistake with his father of listening to them and playing that game when we went in the first time, and we're just mopping it up. Those people, not the Iraqi people per se, but the Iraqi regime hates America. They hate the light. They hate our attainment.
Absolutely.
Just as Rakim hates the light and attainment in America.
Right. And let me ask you this right now. Do you believe that Saddam Hussein's already dead?
No, I'm hoping he's not. I'm hoping a Marine captain will find him in a bunker when they dig down deep enough to find the rat, and he will have the courage enough to cut his head off and put it on a stick and bring it out and show the world. That's what happens when you attack America, because the hatred towards what they have towards us is so deep that we have to do what we did to the Japanese and the Germans. We have to knock them, the fight out of them. We have to knock them on their knees so they don't want to fight anybody for another 100 years.
No country has ever solved a huge conflict on something like this without a decisive victory. And we will have a decisive victory here. We're marching straight towards that. I think that Tommy Franks is going to go down in history as being one of the most brilliant generals of all time. This campaign has gone from beginning to end perfectly according to plan, at least so far. I mean, it's just a textbook case of perfect running of a military exercise. It's just been incredible.
You are correct. And the more that the liberals in America protested, the more I know that we're doing the right thing, because that's the approval rating that I look at. One thing about the protesters, right, I wish the media in this nation would do is always start out by saying what organization is sponsoring this, because there was always some debate. Well, this huge parade in Portland or protest in Seattle was all organized and put together by the American Communist Party, and people would say, well, that doesn't matter. But see, if you or I went to a protest of some kind or a rally that was sponsored by the KKK and we later ran, even though the cause may have been good or whatever, and we ran for a position in public, they would use that against you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
So I wish they'd say, everyone who they arrest, they would list who they are and what party they're affiliated, so people could start seeing the filth, what they're associated with.
Yeah, and you know, I have full respect for freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I believe that people should be able to do peaceful protest. But when they take it a step further to try to stop supplies from getting to our troops, when they start holding up traffic and
that's sedition.
Right, that breaking the law at that point, I think that you're really edging into the realm of treason, and that's something our country's very liberal, unfortunately, about getting into. They don't do it very easily. It's kind of like perjury in the courts. You hardly ever hear of anybody being charged for perjury. And it's the same thing for treason. But I think we've got just incredibly clear examples here. Also, I'd just like to say one thing about your idea about Saddam Hussein having his head cut off and brought up. That would be neat. But I'll tell you one thing that's even better, and I think that that's what actually happened. Our generals actually killed him on the very first night, even before the war was supposed to start.
I hope so. That'd be my second choice.
Yeah, how outstanding to take him out right at the beginning and thereby cripple their military, because without a leader, you have no good decision-making capabilities, which I think we've seen is pretty evident with the Iraqi army right now. Our guys are just cutting them off and taking them out pretty much at will.
You know, one last thing I'd like to say is I would like the conservatives in this nation who are sick and tired of these liberals to where they just make you sick to their stomach. We need bumper stickers across this country that says liberalism is a mental illness.
I like it. That's great. I think that's great.
It is a mental illness.
I think that's excellent. Dale, thank you.
And to Rakim, one other question.
I'll tell you what, Dale, can you hold on? Hey, Dale, can you hold on for just a minute? We're about to go to break. We'll be back.
2 seconds.
What's that? We'll be back in just a minute. We're still on break, but this is going to be a live break. Bob does those every once in a while. And I just want to say that I personally have sampled several of the products from Bob Inyart Live. The Plot is one of the greatest Bible teaching tools that anybody can use. I highly recommend it. And two of the videos I'd like to put out that I'd like to – I think people would really enjoy getting. One of the videos is the Mount Moriah video. The Mount Moriah video details – incredible evidence to show the truth of the resurrection of Christ. It gives all of the different arguments that you can use to prove to a non-believer or to even other Christians that might not have all that information of how we can prove that Jesus Christ not only died but did raise from the dead. So I highly recommend that. And then the other one I highly recommend, which is almost the opposite end of the spectrum, is God and the Death Penalty. God and the Death Penalty shows how the Bible has a complete justice system within its contents, and that at the heart of evangelism, the death penalty is right there. So I would highly recommend that as well. I'm just not getting a list of some of the other Bob Inyart products. I've got most of those. I would say the best ones I like are The Plot, Mount Moriah, God and the Death Penalty, and also there's another one that's really good, which is Sex Has a Price. And that's not actually done by Bob. It's done by a woman. But it is – if you have teenage children and you're afraid that they might decide to or even coming of age to where they're into sexuality, it's a great video to show them why they should wait until marriage and why it's a sacred thing to have and why they should not engage in any type of sexual activity until they get married. So I think it's also a great product. And we're going to go to another music break, and then right after that, we'll be back on the air. Good evening, and we're back live on the air with Gordon Carroll. Bob's out of town, so I'm standing in for him today. And also, I just want to remind everybody that tomorrow Bob will still be out of town, so we're going to do a Best of Bob show on the show tomorrow. For those wanting to call in, you can call in at either 1-800-8-INYART, or if you're local, you can call in 303-463-1942. And we're going to try to get another number, too, where people can call in. Right now we've got Dale on the phone. He wanted to finish up. We're talking about the war with Iraq and with the protesters today and how they attempted to treasonously stop the supplies from getting to our troops, getting out of America and getting to our troops. So we're going to go back to Dale real quick. Dale, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Another point Joaquin made was that the only reason we're over there for is to conquer and take their oil and enslave them so we could build palaces like their government right. has. And I don't know what history he's been reading or who's been teaching him history, but if you go to where, again, what he calls us, and I'm sick and tired of hearing the evil white culture, Granada, if you look at that, you could call your travel agent and take a vacation there and have a thriving travel business there. Panama, the bananas are no cheaper than they were before, but the people have self-determination there.
Right.
Japan, we're not sucking them dry. They don't have any resources. They have their own democracy. Germany, we rebuilt. Everywhere we've gone, we've left it better, and we haven't built our own palaces and sucked these people dry of their resources. We have to be a little bit more truthful and understand the reality of life. The United States of America is a blessed nation. And it's blessed not because it's a bunch of white people. It's blessed because it turned to Christ, and it was a Christian nation. It's no longer a Christian nation, but it was a Christian nation. That's what he needs to understand. And if it was predominantly black in America, and they turned to Christ, it would have been a blessed nation. It's nothing to do about Whitey or the black man that drives the town car, which he mistakenly referred that I drive. It's about what they believe in, and that's the Christ principles. And I am so sick and tired of hearing the black man squeal and scream about this Whitey problem. He needs to wake up and smell the coffee, because if it wasn't for America and the culture of America, those people would still be in their tents burning camel dung to stay warm.
Well, the truth is,
we need the oil.
Hey, Dale,
bless them.
As we all know, a couple points I just want to bring up that you brought up there I'd like to reiterate a little bit. One, we know that there's racists in every race. There's white racists, there's black racists, Mexican racists. There's racists all over the place.
I'm not racist. I'm right. prejudiced. Yeah. I cannot stand white liberals.
Yeah.
But I don't mind black people.
I can't stand liberals, period. Right. I agree.
No, but even black liberals could be turned. They could see the light. But many white liberals, I mean, I think they're what the Bible refers to as laggards and Nephilim, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. No, not Nephilim. Nephilim would be the prodigy of angels with human people. But another thing I wanted to bring up also...
Fallen angels.
Yeah, fallen angels, exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to bring up that you had just said was, which was that we're blessed because we're a nation that turns to Christ. And real quick, I want to also state that the other number people can call is 1-888-8-INYARD. Some people are having a hard time getting in on the 1-800-INYARD number. So if you could try calling in on the 1-888-8-INYARD. Now, as far as us being a country that professes Christ, I think we both know that our country really does not profess Christ right now. We started out that way. We started out that way. And the fact that we started out that way and we founded our entire legal system on a biblical system, even though we've gone so far astray in so many areas, just that basic foundation that we had at the beginning has hugely helped our country up to this time. Now, there were flaws even back then, but even just having it close to it.
The inertia of that's carrying us.
What's that? Yeah, the inertia that's carrying us, right. Even when we started off not 100%, and certainly the Founding Fathers made some grievous mistakes, but that foundation has been very powerful, and even to this day, it's still helping our country to do better than most of the rest of, I mean, than all of the world right now, because obviously there's no country that's doing as well as America right now.
Well, if you talk to the protesters, Iraq is.
Yeah. Well, it soon will be. I can
that's
see
true.
That. And as far as other
countries.
Right. And then one other one. What's that? I'm sorry. Say it again.
As long as we bring them to their knees.
Yeah. Well, that is certainly happening even as we speak.
Or to Allah.
Yeah. Right. And another country that you didn't bring up was Kuwait.
When we went in and liberated Kuwait. Are we sucking out their oil?
Yeah, we're not doing that. We haven't put in an American regime there. We haven't done anything like that. We liberated their people. We got rid of Saddam from that area. And then we went back and came back to America, just like we always do.
Hmm. Well, I hope Joaquin understands the facts. It probably just confuses him.
Facts do not work very good with liberals, as we all know.
No, they don't.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Dale. You take care.
Have a good night. Bye.
Okay. So anyone else that wants to call in, please call in at 1-888-8-INYARD. And any questions you have, we'll try to go on from there. One of the reasons I asked Dale if he thought that Saddam Hussein was still alive was because I'm reading in the Rocky Mountain News today, and I found in at least two different places where they said that Saddam Hussein had ordered his troops to do this, and Saddam Hussein had ordered his troops to do that. I don't think Saddam Hussein has ordered anything. I think he has assumed room temperature. He's taking a dirt nap, and we're not going to hear anything from him until maybe we'll find his body, and that's what we'll hope for. But the disarray of the Iraqi army, the fact that he hasn't come out on public TV, it'd be very easy for him, just like Osama bin Laden, either one of them, it'd be very easy for them to prove to the world that they were still alive. All they'd have to do is hold up a Today's paper, even if they want to hold an Al Jazeera paper up with today's date on it and say something about the war right now, and it would be very easy. Everybody would go, oh, okay, he's still alive and let's go from there. But you notice they don't do that. It's always these doctored film clips and doctored audio recordings and statements from the Secretary of Propaganda. That's what I would call him anyway. And those kinds of things. So we don't see any evidence that Saddam Hussein is alive, and I don't believe he is. I think our troops did an incredibly accurate surgical strike on that very first day when they went in and hit all of those different palaces. And I think that both he and both of his sons were killed during that time. We'll find out eventually, but I think that that's the way it is, and I think that it was a brilliant stroke from our military to do that. We took out their entire head of their regime right at the beginning and left them powerless from that point forward. One of the other things I wanted to get to also was some of the information about the actual fighting going on there today. We went into Basra. We're still having a little bit of trouble with Basra just because there's little pockets and groups of resistance. But A whole bunch of British Marines got there today, and they're ready to take over that town. I think within the next couple of days, maybe a week, we'll see that completely fall, and it'll be totally in our control. We have control of it now, but we don't have total control. There's still pockets of resistance. The other thing I wanted to talk about was also the rescued POW, Miss Lynch. I don't know how much people have heard. One of the things that was confusing to me was how they had first said that she'd been shot, then she hadn't been shot, then she had been shot. Today, finally, I read in here that they say absolutely that she was shot. A remarkable woman. She obviously was very brave, and we're certainly thankful to God that she made it back. We're sorry for the other people of that division that didn't make it back. But here you have just an American Army soldier who is in the transport company. And from all accounts of everything that we've heard, she fought incredibly bravely, even though she was totally surrounded and outnumbered, and the entire group was. And they're a transport unit, not really in the dirt fighting unit all the time. Their main job is to transport things here and there. But even then, when she's surrounded, she was able to empty both of her weapons. She was able to, from all accounts that I've heard anyways, at least wound several of the Iraqis coming in to take her out, and still able to survive two broken legs, a broken arm, a broken ankle. I don't know if it's fractures or just disc injuries to her spinal column, but very severe injuries. And she was able to survive all that. And I think that that's a real strong point for our soldiers and their fitness for duty and their determination. And I just will pray, and I hope all of us will pray for a speedy recovery for her and for the rest of our troops out there. Other than that, I think that we're getting ready to go for a break in just a minute. As far as the war goes, other than that, I think we're doing a masterful plan. Everything is going exactly as we wanted it to. Not maybe the way some of the news correspondents thought it would go. I think that some people were saying that we'd go in there, we'd be done in 1 day or 2 days. And I think that's totally impractical. We've taken a very measured attack strategy to go in and systematically take them out with as little loss of life, both to us and to the Iraqi people, as we could possibly do. Now, when you go that way, when you're trying to save from civilians dying as well as our troops, you're going to get some more casualties on our side because we're being careful. When you're trying to be that careful and going in a strategic situation like this, you will suffer greater losses. And we, the American people and our government and our ruling peoples, George Bush and all the generals involved, have decided that we'll take that measure to try to spare innocent life over there. And that, again, is a sign of America's class and of our determination to do things in the right way. We'll be right back after this break. And this is Gordon Carroll. Good evening, and this is Gordon Carroll standing in for Bob Inyart. Bob's out of town today, and for those of the who are just coming into the show, we're talking about the war and some of the protests that went on today. Bob will not be here also tomorrow night, so don't call in tomorrow night, but do listen. There will be the Best of Bob show, and we always put the best ones we can find on there. Okay, we're going to go to line two. Hello, caller. Speak your mind.
Hello, am I on?
You are on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to say first that this is a great topic. It's being played on most major media radio stations and on the TV, and it's a breath of fresh air to hear a conservative point of view as opposed to the liberal rhetoric that we tend to get. So I just wanted to say I really appreciate that. I think you're doing a great job. But the reason I'm calling, I guess, is that the first caller, I think his name was Rakim.
That's right.
He really kind of touched off a sensitive subject there with the protesters, and apparently being one of them, although it seems his view is a little bit skewed on why he's a protester. But I guess my point is, you brought up the Jessica Lynch and her heroic actions over there in Iraq, and these protesters have to remember that as they're spouting their line about how they have freedom of speech and they have the right to protest this war, they have to keep in mind the people like Jessica Lynch and the heroes who are out there, the ones who are going to make it back and the ones who aren't going to make it back, and the effect that they're going to have on these people when they do come back.
That's
here.
A great point. Have you seen any of the news shows today of what went on with the protesters? Have you got to see any of those yet?
You know, I haven't. I haven't yet. And the first time I had heard about it was listening to you on the radio, and it really appalls me to hear that that's actually going on. Protesting is one thing. I mean, even if you do have a good point of view, in my opinion, that you want to put out there, but why does it have to resort to violence, I guess is my question. And I don't understand that. You're protesting against a violent war through the use of violence, and that really bothers me. I can't believe
the very people that are fighting over there so that they'll have the right to protest, they're trying to, I mean, because that's what the soldiers are doing, right? They defend our country and our way of life. And the very people that are over there defending the right for them to have their protest, they're trying to hamper the supplies from getting to them that could save their lives. And I guess you haven't seen any of them yet. If you watch the news tonight, maybe they'll have some on. I think the news has not been doing too bad of a job with these protesters. At first, I think they were really heavily handed towards the liberal side. But I think that as they've seen how much America is in favor of this military action that we're doing and for the reasons that we're doing it, I've seen a subtle shift where they're coming back and they're not giving the protesters as much time or as much credibility as they used to. If you watch the news tonight, I'd like you to see that the police actually come out and shoot them with rubber bullets and with rubber batons. And how often do you see the police doing that? What did those protesters have to do to get to that point to where they're getting hit with rubber bullets and batons?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, obviously, it's no longer a peaceful protest. For them to go out there, what they're trying to do is they're trying to maintain peace. They're, in my opinion, they're actually bringing the violence of the war here on their own turf. And if it comes down to that, where the police have to take that type of action, I mean, you've got to realize that that what you're doing is wrong. It's harming, you know, it's harming your cause for one thing. But second, it's harming basically the nation. And when people see this and what's going on, you know, especially these, like I said, these people who are overseas right now, putting their lives on the line, that are watching this. How demoralizing is that going to be? And then
absolutely, you're right.
And are going to be subjected to all that. And, you know, in my opinion, I think that these protesters, anyway, a majority of them really don't even realize, like the first caller you had, actually why they're protesting the war. They might have other agendas, and they just want to jump on the bandwagon. They come out of liberal colleges, liberal high schools, being told by these liberal teachers that, you know, this is the viewpoint against the war. And they're filling these basically kids' heads with you know, false ideas, and
yeah,
the kids are ready to jump on any bandwagon at that point, and they just went along with it.
And Mark, just now across the news, they came out with a report that says that they just had a missile attack that killed Saddam Hussein. They just came across the news and said that.
Also, it's been verified.
Well, it has been verified? Or did you say has it been?
No, I'm asking, it has been then?
They just said it across the news that it happened. Now, how verified it is, I don't know yet, but that's what just came across the news. I think what we're going to find out is that if Iraq is admitting that he's been blown up now, they're going to be trying to save face saying it just happened. And I bet you anything you want that it happened on that very first night.
Right,
Go ahead.
Yeah, and Iraq, I mean, they're going to have to back down eventually. I mean, it's preposterous for them to come out, and the Iraqi defense minister coming across, I mean, up until I heard this morning and this afternoon, still saying that we are not inside Baghdad, and yet it's broadcast across the world that we're in and out, just to show that we can do it.
Yeah, the Secretary of Propaganda, the Secretary of Propaganda, that's what I like to call him.
That's exactly right.
For him to be that ridiculous, I mean, even Al Jazeera couldn't possibly go along with that. We've got films. We've got our embedded reporters right there. And they absolutely have control of the airport. And for him to say that they don't have control of the airport, in fact, what did he say? He said, I'll take you there tomorrow. And he didn't take him there tomorrow. I don't know what happened with that.
Right. And you know what it does? It absolutely highlights the lies that are continuing, which will highlight the lies in the past as to whether or not they had a chemical chemicals, mass destruction type weaponry, and that they were hiding it from us. Obviously, I mean, the lies continue, and if people in the world can't see that, if the protesters can't see that, then there's only two reasons. One, they're blind and ignorant, or number two, they're trying to push a separate message across that really has nothing to do with the war.
I have to tell you, Mark, I actually know people that totally fall for it. They've said to me personally, they've said, I know that George Bush is doing this just to get the oil, or they'll say this, George Bush started this whole thing because his daddy wants him to get even with Saddam Hussein for losing the election. Have you heard that from anybody?
I have heard that, actually, and that's I can't even believe that they're spouting that. Where they get that from, I have no idea. It's a ludicrous idea. It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, had we wanted to do that initially and gone over there for the oil, we were in there once before with George Bush Sr. We would have taken it then. And again, your point very well received. Hey, you know, we could have taken it from Kuwait. I mean, but let's go back and say that is one of our reasons for going in there, that we are securing our own interests. I don't have a problem with that.
Right, I agree with you. That's a great
point. Exactly. We are a world power. We have to take care of our own interests. We have to take care of our own country, security, and outside interests like oil. And we're not going in there and actually, taking over the country itself and setting up our own government.
Absolutely not.
We certainly are going to make sure that they are not going to manipulate their resources to manipulate us.
I think that's a great point. When you're going to go to war, you're going to have some sort of military action against another country. There are a couple of reasons it should happen. One is they're attacking your country. And they can attack your country in more than one way. One way can be to supply all your enemies with supplies and to cut you off. And if that becomes so detrimental to your country to where you it becomes dangerous for you, then you may have to go ahead and take actions against that. And I don't believe that that's in any way, shape, or form while we're over there doing that. But like you said, if that were the reason, I would agree with it even then. That, of course, isn't the reason here. We know that they were tied with al-Qaeda. We know that he sponsors terrorist camps. In fact, Iraq was the only country that still openly sponsors terrorist attacks. It used to be Iran also. They're kind of out of that business. I think Reagan helped that happen. And now Iraq is the only one that still was in that business, and they bragged about it. And we've now shut that down. It's a safeguard for the entire world, not just for America, but for the entire world. France, ridiculous, pansy, evil France, even they had sarin gas in their subway system. They have a high concentration of terrorist people that are there. We are even helping them by this action.
Right, and I totally agree with that. And you know what? I don't know what the ulterior motives are exactly, why France basically boycotted us going in there by force, but I think history will obviously show you that France just, maybe it's genetic, that they just like to take a step back and retreat.
I would say just go wee, wee, wee all the way back home. Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. And we're going to go to James in Denver. James, you're on Bob and Yart Live. Go ahead.
Hey, Gordon, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Hey, I wanted to make a couple points. One, I think the peaceniks they're the type of people that if they saw their neighbor cutting their kid's tongue out or dissolving their kids in an acid bath, they just reach over the fence and say, "Peace, dude." They, you know, they really don't care about other people. It's really shallow and transparent.
Well, I think Mark brought up a great point, and that was that if people are trying to take these stances that they're taking, the liberals, it's not because they really believe what they're saying. It's not because they're peacemongers. It's really because they have another agenda that they are trying to foster. And it's either I hate America or America's government is evil or I want to hug a tree, or for whatever reason it is, it's that versus what the real thing that they are protesting is.
Well, I think Rashid or whatever his name is had an axe to grind because he's a racist.
Oh, you think Rakim's a racist?
I think so.
How could you say something like that?
And I wanted just to affront that. I wanted to invite the K-Man to our church.
Oh, great. I love it. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we go to Denver Bible Church, K-Man. I hope you're still listening. If you come to our church, I'm the J-Man.
The J-Man and the Caveman.
The J-Man at Denver Bible Church. Right. So. And Rashid, I don't think I want him coming to my church.
I think it's
He's a
Raheem.
Little unstable.
I think it's Raheem. And
okay.
I think he could go to Heritage. Heritage always says, all sinners welcome and come on up. So I have a feeling he could go up there and fit in just great.
Okay.
Hey, James, thank you very much for the call.
All right. Thanks again.
Take care.
Bye.
And with that said, I'd also just like to bring up real quickly that Bob Inyart, who is the pastor of Denver Bible Church, is also getting ready to publish the statement, which I think you've already he's already read over the air. I'm going to read it one more time because I think it's important. We are taking a moral stance throughout the world. And as we take this moral stance stating that we will not allow evil, horrible acts to be taken place, such as what Saddam Hussein is doing, or to attack us, we still want to look in our own backyard and clean up our area as much as we can. And our letter to President Bush, which Denver Bible Church is sending him, to thank him for the efforts he's done in the war and also to urge him to continue the fight against abortion and to stop the killing of innocent children in our own country so that we can, with a clear conscience, stay what we state. This is Gordon Carroll, and thank you for listening. And Bob will be back, not tomorrow, but the day after that. Take care.